B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Dad, looks like we got a car right here. Check it out. Check the license plate.
Yeah, it's been to a couple proms, but it ain't going tonight.
Light her up. Dale, you ever notice that Boston looks a lot like Southern California? Suspect, 5'10", thunder thighs.
Light him up.
Let's get him.
Yeah, Skip, we got a 5'11". She's about a 7.
Aw, oh, Dale, slow down into the turn. Dale, let's go back to the station. Hey, press the pin call. Say it was the right time to walk away.
But dreaming takes you nowhere. Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Tom Ferretire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. That is, I'm told, Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola.
It's when they were cops. They dressed up as cops and went around the town as cops and ate donuts like cops.
Yeah, it's funny because you were playing it and I kept waiting for a punchline and it never arrived.
Most people who watched it kind of thought the same thing. Julian Edelman, man of ton of amazing plays on the field and a ton of really bad videos that he made on the
duds.
Side. Yeah, but man, yeah, that was, I was watching through a few of them last night and this morning and kind of reliving his obsession with, I guess, social media fame and
himself, his obsession with just, himself.
His continued swings and misses at the elusive viral ball.
Yep. I was on this swinging pendulum last night where I would see some unbelievable play or like hit that he took and you're like, oh my God, this dude's toughest guy in the NFL. And then I would see something like, you know, smoothie time with a Y and you'd just be like, oh boy. And it was just kind of went from one thing to the next. Great on the field, off the field, just couldn't have been any cheesier of a human being.
Yeah, a very, very corny person.
Yes, very corny, but that was a not really unexpected, but still, that's it's like an end of an era. The Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman whole era of this team now officially done and over with, and it's strange. It is strange to know that that's no longer around Foxborough. Even though nobody had any expectations for him playing this year, or even being any, you know, competent. Even if he did play. But that's, yeah, it was kind of a strange announcement yesterday. And now the debate begins from everyone on the internet. Hall of Fame or not? Hall of Fame or not?
A lot of local debate and then national debate.
It's everywhere.
I understand that there's a debate because it's news coming out about the NFL, which, and there's 5,000 NFL reporters that need to fill space. And I understand we're having Michael Hurley on today because he's a huge proponent of getting Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame.
He thinks that it's hysterical how angry it makes people, the debate, but he also comes across as somebody who really wants him in the Hall of Fame.
You don't say.
So I love Hurley when it comes to this. I mean, he's got his article that he wrote's kind of funny, and he makes some pretty good points, but I mean, it's, you know, to me, it's more about just watching heads explode over the next 48 hours.
Well, you're giving Edelman a lot of credit. If this thing's going to last, the Hall of Fame debate will last through the midday shows of National.
That might be true.
And then sure. Start to fade. Yeah. Dickie Barrett texted me last night a video of him ranting and raving backstage at some show. And then Julian Edelman coming up to shake his hand at him saying, get out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess Edelman came into the show. And, I mean, he was joking around, but I guess Edelman came in and was like, I'm friends with Ken Casey from the Dropkick Murphys. It's up at Fred Toucher on Instagram. I put it up. It's got a million swears in it. It's not probably worth editing up and playing. But then, because you can't see Edelman either. And then at the end, Edelman like sticks out his hand. He's going in for the selfie. He's going in. Get out of here. I guess Ken Casey, a big fan of bringing as many athletes with him as possible mm-hmm. into these backstage areas. He's a friend of many of the athletes. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Maybe he could help him get some internet fame, as this is what Julian Edelman strives to do.
Sure.
He cannot be locked in some kind of announcing box. He needs to be out there, working that funny bone. Maybe stand-up comedy. Maybe he starts working out of the Cellar in New York. Who knows?
I actually wonder what he's going to do next.
He wants to be a movie star. That's what I think. I think the next stop for him is Hollywood.
I want to be an NBA player.
Yeah, I want to be a receiver.
No, I know. I didn't say he'd do it or be successful at it, but in his mind, this is what his career has been a prelude to.
Yeah. He's certainly taken advantage of his fame in the NFL. I mean, Lord knows how many movies has he been in.
He's in Entourage. Who's in that movie?
In Entourage.
Hey, he's been on the Fallon program once or twice.
Listen, at least he's got the relationship with Jeremy Piven going, because there's no one hotter in Hollywood right now than Jeremy Piven.
I'm wondering though, because I mean, he's going to want to. Is he good enough to be a commentator?
Sure.
Is he, like, a
oh, he's
head?
Never. That guy has never seen a microphone he didn't love.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the microphone loves him. You know, like
he'll get a shot at if he wants to at ESPN. I mean, they'll put anyone on. I mean, sure. they'll just churn and burn.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll give you a shot. And they'll let you, if that's what he wants to do.
And maybe he'll be good at it. I mean, there's certain players that you don't really see whether or not they're going to speak their mind until they're done with the league. Like, I mean, Kendrick Perkins is a good example of that. I don't see him having the potential that Perkins had. But, I mean, Perkins went on to be pretty damn good on TV just because he didn't care. And I don't know if Edelman's ever going to be that guy, but I'm just trying to, because you're right, he wants to be famous.
It doesn't scratch that itch, though, because... Say what you will about Perkins, and I know you're a huge fan of him on TV, and he's good. But,
yeah, he's great.
But he's good. But he's not going to, he's not famous. Like, Edelman wants to be famous. Like, Edelman wants to be adored and loved. I mean, Kendrick Perkins, you know, gets his shot on, you know, the ratings at ESPN are not very good compared when you look at the amount of eyes that are on it. I think Edelman wants huge fame, like to be adored, to have every day be like a Sunday in the fall, to to showcase his comedy. He doesn't want to be restricted by the Disney Corporation. He doesn't want to be on ESPN and not be able to say what he feels. Come on, man. I mean, him, and then is Amendola retiring? Has Amendola retired?
That's a good question. I've lost track.
I mean, those two little honks.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
He's not in the Lions anymore.
The Lions was, yeah, that was his last stop. Has he played anywhere? Was he on the team last year? I know it sounds crazy. He was on the team last year, right?
Currently a free agent at the age of 35.
I was about to say, yes. He obviously didn't make much of a bang. So,
if he was on the Lions, he must have been very, very hurt.
Yeah.
So, because I don't recall him playing.
So yeah, him so and I don't know.
He didn't play because Galladay was hurt, and their whole offense was Marvin Jones Jr.
Okay,
whole passing attack
says here he did play for Detroit last year.
Okay, how many games?
Started 5 games in 14. That's what it says here.
Wow. Well, he didn't do much.
46 catches, 0 touchdowns.
Okay, so there you go. That's why my memory is not great on it.
Maybe the two of them can team up, kind of like the Cops skit, and when they did Edelman and Dola go to Mexico. Remember that special?
I don't. But maybe they could be the new Dennis Rodman and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Double team remake.
Hey, listen, someone will watch it. But, Julian Edelman is no longer a New England Patriot. He is, and now everyone's clamoring about Tampa Bay, and to that I would say insurance fraud. I mean, he's getting $2 million. I read for failing the physical and retiring.
Can, yeah, he can. So, but I mean, but he could technically because of – now, he wouldn't get that money because he was playing again. But since he was cut from the physical, this isn't a situation like he's retiring and the Patriots still own his rights. Like with right. Rob Gronkowski, that was, you know, something where they had to work out a deal. But
there was still Edelman, 1 year left on the contract, which is where the compensation came in.
Which actually Edelman still has a year left – or would have had a year left technically if I'm not mistaken. So this is not that situation, though. He was cut. Like, he failed his physical and they released him. So he would be able to go play wherever. Like, I mean, would you put it past him at some point to say, all right, you know what? I was wrong. I think I do want to play. And then Tom Brady picking him up. I mean, I think there's a 20% chance that could happen.
On his end, 20% chance is logical.
No, I'm saying happening.
Why would Tampa Bay want him?
Because Brady loves the guy.
I don't know that.
I don't think he can. Well, that's debatable. That's one. But the other part of it is, if Edelman's knee is as bad as everyone thinks it is, and by the way, he's going to be 35 next month. Gronk at least was 29, 30. He was banged
up. And a unicorn.
But he had some juice left. I think Edelman's wrung out. I think he's done.
Well, I agree.
Isn't Gronkowski. Gronkowski is a unicorn player who was still in his prime, even though he had been, and had a year off.
Yeah, Edelman's five years older than him.
Yeah, Edelman's an old player when was the last time Edelman was good?
Two years ago?
Yeah. So, I mean, he hasn't been good in a while.
He had one great game at the beginning of this season.
Against Seattle. He had a monster game against Seattle. Yep.
Yeah. He had the one game. And listen, if Brady asks for him, I mean, they're going to take him. I mean, Tampa Bay does what Brady wants. But if I mean, that's a big ask of your friend if you're Edelman. Like, hey, I'm not very good anymore. My knee is completely shot. I'm old. I've taken a million big hits, as illustrated in all the, you know, videos that have been released since my retirement. Hey, get me paid. Put me on the team. I mean, Antonio Brown, in his prime, who's five times the athlete that Edelman is, didn't do anything for Tampa Bay. So, Lord knows.
Well, we all thought that Gronk was toast, too. So.
All right. Well, again, I mean, we can go over the same points. He was 29. He's a unicorn player. He didn't have a bone-on-bone knee injury that he didn't fail a physical. I mean, you're really comparing the two?
Yeah.
You're comparing the two.
It was a back situation, too.
Which he had in college.
That's awful.
Which he had in college.
Oh, I mean, he continued to injure his back while he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, I know, but you're comparing the knee-on-knee failed physical to what was wrong with Gronkowski. You're comparing the two?
I'm comparing how people had completely dismissed and said that Gronk was done physically when he retired. Everyone, including you.
He didn't fail a physical, though. I thought he was done. I thought he was... He could have... Well, no, because they did Edelman a favor by letting him fail the physical.
Yes, they did.
So they could have done the same thing.
We wouldn't have even known that.
So they could have done the same thing to Gronkowski. They could have had him fail. They could have let him fail the physical and take the money. I mean, the two players are completely different. One is old and well past his prime with a legitimate physical condition that can't be rectified. And the other one has been dealing with back problems since they were 19.
Honestly, I think based on the Patriots' reaction to both situations, I think they told Gronk, okay, you need to step away, fine. We still have you for 1 year. If you want to take a year off and come back, that's one thing. They terminated Edelman's contract to give him extra money because they knew he was done.
It's like the last episode of The Office Dwight fires Pam and Jim so they can get a year's severance.
There you go.
It's the same thing.
I also think they liked Edelman better than Gronk. Personally, I think that there was some tension between Gronk's people and the Patriots for a while.
Well, he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it, too. I think they actually liked Edelman better than Gronk.
And Edelman told him he was going to retire and leave the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different, too.
Yeah. Gronk, you remember Gronk's family had a hand in press releases during the time that Gronk was here.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think Rich is right about that.
Well, no, of course they like Edelman more than... But Edelman also is retiring with a failed physical.
Yep.
I'm saying I just wouldn't put it past. Like, this is, like, as I said, a 20% chance that he would end up playing next year.
I didn't say that there was no chance he'd end up playing. I'm just saying that the, comparing him and Gronkowski is they're not very comparable.
I think that was because when Gronkowski retired, everyone, including you and everyone at the station, said he's never playing again. And then he played.
Yeah, because he retired, and I figured that he was wanted to save his body. And he wanted to go in to do movies and things like that.
Which is exactly what Edelman, we just said Edelman.
He has a bone-on-bone situation that failed the physical where he gets paid by the league. It's a he has a physical condition that he cannot overcome right now. It's I don't understand why. What's the argument? I'm not even arguing anything except that Edelman has a debilitating injury that is not allowing him to play football, and Gronkowski got sick of being a Patriot. And I thought Gronkowski wanted to save his body to go run around and do wrestling. I guess would promote CBD.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he tackled, 15 guys with one jump during WrestleMania last year?
Absolutely.
Yes. And it was very realistic. He obviously trained for it.
Yeah, well, he didn't put his heart and soul into wrestling, or he would have made it.
The best is how they got his belt back. Like, it was the most phoned-in thing. Like, when he signed with it was in his backyard gardening or something, and some guy tackled him. Right. And they took his belt, and that was the end of it.
It's a 24/7 belt, Rich. You got to be ready at any time.
It's true.
It was the Poochie the Hound episode from The Simpsons when they tried to write him off. It's like, I need to go to my planet now. And just took him away, and that was the end of it. It was like, let's just forget any of this ever happened with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
I forgot he was gardening. It was like the worst storyline ever.
It's true, though. It was real life. He didn't even know they were there. They just tackled him and took it. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, we'll get into some of the devils and details with this Edelman contract and situation. On top of that, we had a Taylor Hall speaking yesterday about his time heading to the Bruins and what that means for the team. Sweeney also talked to the media as well.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
It's retirement TYME for Julian Edelman.
We're excited about this.
That's it right here.
Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football. It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family.
Well, just moments after the announcement that the Patriots terminated the contract of Edelman due to a failed physical, he released that video announcing his retirement from the game. The failed physical, as we were mentioning, most likely an agreed-upon way between Julian and the team to not only get him up to $2 million in benefits upon his walking away, but also to generate $3.4 million in cap space for the team. So Edelman has had that horrible chronic knee issue for quite some time. What was it, 6 months ago that he got the surgery? And I know in December there was talk about him possibly returning, but he shut it down when he probably realized, why would I kill myself for this team? What would I think? We're already out of the playoffs at this point. He was probably saying as they were coming in December, yeah, they were out, I would think, almost by that point. I don't even think there was a hope. But he retires, yeah. A three-time Super Bowl champion, was the game's MVP against the Rams. He also ranks second all-time with 118 postseason catches and 1,442 yards, trailing only Jerry Rice in each of those categories. And one thing is for sure, Belichick loved the guy. Yesterday, he released a statement on Jules saying, quote, by any measure of what constitutes an elite NFL career, wins, championships, production, Julian has it all. Few players can match Julian's achievements, period, but considering his professional trajectory and longevity, the group is even more select. It is historic. He continues, for all Julian did for our team, what I may appreciate the most is that he was a quintessential throwback player. He could and did do everything. Catch, run, throw, block, return, cover, and tackle, make super cool internet videos, all with an edge and attitude that would not allow him to fail under any circumstance. Julian Edelman, the ultimate competitor, and it was a privilege to coach him. Glowing praise. Belichick's actually getting pretty good at that.
The inner circle, man. There aren't many people there.
The best one of them. The best part of the video is that Julian gets up at the end and leaves you with an empty chair for just a while.
No. What about the slow walk away towards the lighthouse? What about that?
Oh, I didn't see that part.
But did you watch the very end?
Oh, yeah. You should have seen the very end.
No.
He walks away, and then he goes, beam me up. And, he beams up to a spaceship.
For real?
Yeah. It disappears.
It's actually kind of funny. That was, actually a pretty good ending.
The video kind of encapsulates all of Julian's postings throughout his career. It's overdone, it's calculated, and it's really weird.
See, but I thought it was going to be corny with him just walking away with the empty chair.
Oh,
and
no.
Then all of a sudden he just goes, beam me up, and then he goes to a spaceship. I was like, all right, well, that was all right.
No, but it can be both corny and weird at the same time.
I must have turned it off. I didn't give him a chance. I was too caught up in my emotions.
Because you want to turn it off when you see the empty chair, oh, boy. And then all of a sudden he goes, beam me up. Okay, well, that's a little bit of redemption.
Wait, wasn't there an empty chair that they panned around 360 at the beginning before he came and sat down?
Well, I just thought it was interesting because and I could be wrong about this too, is that they weren't showing his highlights in Gillette, that they were there were advertisements going on.
They didn't want anyone to know. It was secret when they filmed it the night before.
They
didn't want anyone around to see that he was retiring. And story
gets right.
So I'm not joking. That's probably why they did that. They would have done it for him, I'm sure, if he asked. But wow. And then there was the moment that Jules was refreshing his feed for, I'm sure, all night last night, the Instagram tribute from one Thomas Brady. When it came in, he just put his hand on his iPad and gently trickled his fingers down the front, looking at the picture that he posted of the two of them after one of their Super Bowl wins. Tom writes, "Hey, bud, it's me, Tom. Remember that time I went on vacation to the Cape with my family and I found you underneath the car, clinging on for dear life the entire drive? Just so you could jump out and yell surprise as I unpacked for my family trip. That was awesome."
It was Cape Fear? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, maybe
that's how he's spending. That's how he's spending his retirement, is just doing chin-ups in anticipation for a battle.
Yep. "Remember when you cut your hair just like mine," Tom continues, "every time I cut my hair? That was the best. Remember when I didn't watch your smoothie time videos, despite you tagging me tenfold on every post and texting me at 2 a.m. asking, did you watch it? Did you watch it? I miss those moments most, big guy. And by the way, you ripped off my TB12 logo. That was cool, too. Oh, yeah, there was football stuff, too. Signed, Tom Brady. P.S. Tampa has enough receivers." And that was the end of the post.
Well, that wasn't nice at all. He needs to take a lesson from Bill Belichick.
I know. And be a little more glowing in his praise.
I like that. P.S. Tampa has enough receivers. Mm-hmm. Don't bother.
No, we don't really need
him. Well, the thing that sucks for Brady is that he could get him if Edelman wanted to go to Tampa and Brady wanted him, Brady could make it happen, and everyone knows it. And so if Edelman reaches out, it's the ultimate uncomfortable, sure, yeah, all right, I'll talk to Bruce about it. And then would you talk to Bruce about it? Yeah, we didn't really have a chance. And I mean, because there's no way that Tom can tell him that Bruce Arians said no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Edelman did indeed want to come back to play, I mean, the pressure is really on Tom.
Guerrero's got a position over at the TB12 clinic here in Tampa if you want to be, the towel boy or something like that. I mean, he could always use something there. But one thing is for sure, as cheesy as he was, Brady doesn't have as many rings if it wasn't for Edelman. Not only that, but as we were saying, hands down, one of the toughest players I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, I was watching some of the highlights yesterday, and I mean, we all remember some of the bigger hits, but the stuff that he took and was able to get back up, that Cam Chancellor hit in the Super Bowl where he most likely was concussed. Remember, that was a huge controversy afterwards. Did they let him continue to play concussed? And, they might have won because he played concussed in the game after that hit. But that was one of the many big ones.
I wonder if they're going to have the little slot guy now that gets thrown around like a rag doll anymore. Who in the NFL? Because there was like Tom Waddle, and either Kelso or the other one, the other white guy from Buffalo was one too. Like the white rag doll that you just
You mean Cole Beasley?
No, not Cole Beasley. The one he played with Kelso.
Oh, all right.
The other one, the other white guy.
Okay.
Don Beebe.
I thought Beebe was a straight line guy. I thought Beebe was a deep guy.
Well, Beebe, maybe he was, but and then you had
Krabet was not a slot guy, right?
No, Krabet was not a slot. Krabet was a more well-rounded guy.
Sure. Outside the numbers.
Yeah. So you had Waddle, Welker. You had Edelman.
Welker was the guy who really invented the position.
He's the guy.
Well, Waddle might have been before Welker.
No,
but Welker had success.
Was, but Welker.
Lockhart, give me a bunch of white slot receivers. Ricky Prohl, give me a bunch of white slot receivers that just got the owl beat out of
him. Was Prohl a slot guy? I don't remember.
I'm leaning on Lockhart here.
Yeah, no.
Usually I have a pretty good memory for these things.
Welker was really the first guy to run the inside routes and get crushed by linebackers and do all those option routes.
He was more talented than – he had more talent, and Edelman had more talent than, you know, most of the
rag. Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson's really fast.
Outside, it's like Beebe, outside the
I don't even think Beebe played on offense. I think Beebe was more of a special teams guy.
Yes, he returned kicks for those great Buffalo teams for a while. Yes.
I just don't – I can't think of who in the NFL now is – because you talk about taking hits, and he did. He took a ton.
Tons.
I think it's a specific kind of offense does this, and the Patriots ran an offense where you had that slot guy run 3 or 4 yard patterns and get crushed instead of handing the ball off to a running back. That's what Welker and Edelman did.
So if you're a coach, I mean, you have to absolutely love that, because in order to get your offense off the ground, you need to have a guy who just doesn't care about getting hit.
And can get open. Yes, very quickly.
Well, you're going to be able to get open. Listen, I'm not dismissing what Edelman did. I mean, but, you know, it's easier to get open 3 yards down the field than it is 20.
It's a specific skill set. And most wide receivers get scared when they go in.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You have to be willing to do that stuff and have no fear.
So if you're Belichick, of course you love the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was willing to...
Literally sacrificed his body for you.
Yeah, he was willing to take... I mean, the amount of concussions that guy must have had is incredible, because it's two different kinds of injuries. Because on YouTube, it keeps suggesting these Earl Campbell videos. And Earl Campbell... The way he became all decrepit in old age is because you just couldn't tackle him without taking out his knees. Same thing with Gronkowski. With Edelman, no such problems. He probably wishes that you took out his knees, because everything was head high, everything was shoulder high. So there is an opening in the league now if you are a undersized, good athlete, but...
What you should be asking Mike is, who's the undersized white guy that the Patriots are going to draft in the sixth round to be the next slot?
Well, you don't have to draft him necessarily. Undrafted free agent. That's where Belichick makes his hay now.
Undrafted free agents.
You can just mold them like clay.
Exactly. You take the kid from Kent State. Did you read the thing that the coach from Kent State had wrote about him? It's like, loves to BS.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, never had a harder worker. It sounded like a cop movie.
Yep.
Yeah, sure, the guy's full of crap, but I'll tell you what, when the chips are down, this kid loves to work.
Yep.
It's a Cobra. All of a sudden, he's Cobra.
That's exactly what it read like. It read like Cobra.
Yeah.
Like a try-hard Cobra.
Go ahead, I don't shop here.
That's right.
I imagine he took quite a beating at Kent State, too. Running the option as a quarterback there, he probably took a beating there.
Somebody, I read some article about Edelman last night, as told to by the guys who tried to tackle him, who played against him in conference, and how Edelman was just one of those guys that, you know, would give up his body on a 4th and 7, you know, take 5 hits and dive forward for an 8th yard. And they couldn't tackle him. I was never so tired of chasing that guy around.
Oh, yeah. Gruden loved him. He was slippery.
There's
some slippery guys out there.
Yeah, slippery in a 2-inch area. I mean, he paid the price. I'm glad I am not his body in 10 years. I'll tell you that. That's not going to be a situation that's fun for anyone.
But, man, he put it all. I mean, it was like, you know, Welker kind of started it and Julian perfected it. yeah. when he was here. So, yeah. yeah, it's gonna. It was fun to watch. Fun to watch.
Yep. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, Taylor Hall speaks to the media yesterday and a little bit behind the scenes on how he ended up in Boston. And spoiler alert, he wanted to come here.
All right, we will have that for you. Hear the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Michael Hurley is going to join us at 7:20 to talk about how passionate he is about Julian Edelman getting into the Hall of Fame. Then at 8:45, I believe, putting a very real timer on it is Mr. Bruce Cassidy from the Boston Bruins talking about his newest addition, Taylor Hall, who... certainly not, I guess, the NBA driving down from Buffalo. With the NBA, they just give you a private plane to go to Vegas for the night.
I think the reason for the drive, and Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, if you drive solo and you don't take any kind of public transportation, you're available to play immediately.
Right.
And I heard that he is most likely available to play tonight. As a matter of fact, he even spoke about that yesterday. So I don't know about what's his name, though.
Lazar.
Has he been cleared? Because I thought that there might have been questions with him. I think that Hall is most likely playing, but Lazar, there's still some questions.
Riley's hurt. Hall's playing. And I don't know anything.
Well,
about
Lazar, I saw a little bit of his Zoom conference call. Some clips were posted, and I watched a little bit. He seemed like, I'm ready to go. I'm going to drive to Boston. I hope to play tomorrow night. And then Sweeney came out and said, nope, lower body injury, out.
Oh, yeah, so Lazar, what about Riley? So Riley has a lower body too, right?
Well, Riley is also, don't forget.
Riley has a, Mike Riley has a lawyer. Oh, yeah.
Riley, don't forget, because he's coming from Canada, there are quarantines that are in effect, I would
think. What are you looking forward to in that pooper platter, brother?
So even on the reverse, I thought when you came into the U.S., it was like seeking asylum, like you finally got to move around again.
No, I think because he's coming from another country.
Because he crossed a man-made border. He crossed an invisible line in the sand.
That's correct. Okay. That's absolutely right.
Right.
That's right.
He's not coming from, you know, he doesn't have tuberculosis.
He's not coming from Uganda or anything like that. Right. That's true. But still.
Did you say Uganda? Is that the ultimate, like?
Jerry Remy's trip to the bush.
Oh my God! Every once in a while, it pops up.
Uganda, a meeker. I thought it was a meeker insurance for the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
Just Jerry Remy's
instead of A.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you're not even trying, Jerry. You're a man who's been around the world.
You can read that.
Well, yeah, you can say the A. You can do it. You're trying. Yeah, you're not even trying. Come on.
Well, this is great because the more time passes from this trade that the Bruins made for Taylor Hall, the more I like it. I mean, it truly is a case of something for nothing. And, you know, listen, it could possibly end up being a big something.
I heard last night I was driving my son somewhere again, and I heard the night show, and the creative ways they were crapping on this deal were really applaud. You had to applaud them. I mean, they were crapping on it in ways that I never saw it coming.
Let me guess. Was one of the theories is that he's a cooler? Because I've heard people try to tease that. Like, he's going to mess with the culture of this team because he's known nothing but losing and that he's got a losing attitude. There was this article I read where Andrew Ferentz called him out when he went to Edmonton after this and said, you're nothing like the Bruins that I was with. He didn't call him out specifically, but the younger players, who at the time was Taylor Hall.
Well, I mean,
so if you're... Is that the angle that they're going for?
That
here?
Was not, but, okay. I think they probably talked about how he has been... You know, on good teams, but to that I would say, what are you cooling off? I mean, what's the worst case scenario? I mean, the worst case scenario is they don't make the playoffs. The worst case scenario without him is they don't make the playoffs. So, I mean, you didn't give it. That argument only stands if you gave anything up for him. You didn't give anything up for him. So, I mean, you're taking a chance. I don't know if I'm articulating myself correctly, but there was no guarantee this team was going to do anything anyway. And so you bring him in. I mean, he's going to change the culture in 2 weeks. I mean, the playoffs start soon. And also, no, the one that they took was that he didn't really want to come here, and that the Bruins had to give up more because they wouldn't have made the deal on Sunday night as opposed to Monday afternoon.
Oh, this is so stupid. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's obviously...
No, I was telling you, it was gymnastics to really crap on it. I mean, you got a guy that was a Hart Trophy winner. He's 31 years old.
You're not,
and he didn't give up anything.
You're not depending on him for what he's
and if you think he's going to, and if you think he's going to come into this building and in over the course of a fourth of the season somehow manipulate, you know, everyone, because one of the knocks on him was that I had heard before this trade was that they didn't want him around Pasternak. And the thing is, this guy's not like a felon. I mean, you keep. I mean, the worst thing is what, that he didn't try hard. No. The guy won a Hart Trophy. You got him for nothing.
You got Bergeron and Marchand in that locker room, and to me, that's good enough. I know you used to have Chara, but at least these guys, most of them, learn from Chara as well.
He certainly,
it's almost like, I don't want to say it's a bulletproof locker room, but it's pretty damn close.
And he certainly wanted to come here because he had a no-trade clause, and he had to approve the team.
He actually talked about how that meant a lot. As you said, no-trade clause, so he had to approve it.
Well, in the summer, I can't really dive into it too much. I was ready to be a Bruin, and just some other things kind of didn't work out. But
money. You know,
it was not like any hard feelings or anything like that. And once I knew that there was a possibility that I would be traded, Boston was basically number one on the list of teams that I wanted to go to. And I'd love to be a Bruin for a few years.
That's great. Yeah, they weren't going to pay him that much, and it ended up being a wise move.
Yeah, I mean, you take nothing. Yeah, it's the thing is that okay. So if you're Buffalo, you got to get rid of him. And there was also a narrative that they didn't have to get rid of him. They had to get rid of him. You're not going to pay a guy that kind of money and tell your ownership that, okay, we had the worst record in the league or whatever, close. Yeah. And we got nothing in return for him. So they had to get rid of him. And you're not going to get rid of him to Canada because they're probably going to tell you to go screw. Like, you're not going to get nearly as much because he's not going to be able to play for you for a while. And then it has to be where he wants to go. So, I mean, how many teams are they really dealing with? So why would Buffalo screw around? See, it's two sides, too. So if Buffalo screws around and goes, I'm not taking the deal, and I'm going to put pressure on you.
And Boston's like, okay.
And then Boston goes, okay, and goes out and gets someone else.
Fine. Yeah. Fine. You keep that guy who's not going to come back to your team next year.
Right.
Like, you let him go for nothing.
Like, it's not like Boston, you know, had to get Taylor Hall. Like, I mean, then they go, okay, we're not going to do the deal. And then they go and do something else and go, so, and then you're left stuck with Taylor Hall. There's two parts to this. The Bruins weren't in a huge position of weakness here.
Yeah.
And don't forget, they have a guy who is going to be motivated for these next 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, however long the playoff run is. I mean, Hall, I said it yesterday, he's going to be 30. He's got maybe one more
big
contract. 30 years old. He's got one more contract left in him. If he comes here and lights it up, he's going to get paid.
Well, that's the narrative from everyone in Canada. I mean, which is national, which is all the national guys are. I mean, that's what they're saying, is that this is an audition. There's no excuses. That if you are on a team with, like Rich said, with the veterans, and you're going to be on a line with a guy who's considered by everyone for some reason this incredible facilitator, you might be on a line with him and Pasternak.
And I was if you have Pasternak, he's one of the best goal scorers in the world. He'll take the pressure off you.
The first time in your career you're going to be up against number two defenses. You're not going to be on a first line.
You don't have to be the guy. Pressure isn't on you. You're not even behind the guy. You're like fourth in line.
So if he's not motivated in this situation, I mean, he's not motivated. I mean, he's we're talking about tens of millions of dollars that are on the line here. If he goes and shows on this team, the Bruins will sign him long term. They'll have the money to.
And you know what's going to be fun is that tonight we're going to most likely see Taylor like play against his old team, which means he'll probably score probably double the amount of his seasonal goals against his old team.
Well, he gets to play his old team.
Yeah, tonight. So this is going
to
be
great. No, I know, but he never got to play Buffalo in Buffalo.
That's a good point.
So now he gets to play Buffalo.
That's why he's struggling. He didn't get a chance to play Buffalo.
Yeah, it's true. Look at the teams he had to play.
I know.
So there you go.
He had to play. The division is tough.
Every night he had to play a good team.
Washington, yeah. Philadelphia, the Bruins. Yeah,
the Rangers aren't bad.
The Islanders,
So, I like what he said, too, yesterday, too. Like, he was very humble. He knows where he's at. He's not, his head's not in the sand. He was talking about how, you know, how bad the year has been and kind of put a little bit of the blame on himself. Here he is.
It was such a whirlwind of a year. It went pretty badly, obviously. It wasn't the season that I would have liked to had, not even close. You know, I don't want to set expectations too high. I want to come and win games. A fresh start, especially after the season that I've had, and I still believe in myself a lot as a player. I really want to just be a part of a winning team. I want to add to that, and however I can do that, I'm all in, so should be good.
I like what I heard. I like what I heard yesterday, and I think it's a guy, as you said, who is totally humbled because this has got to be a scary place for him. I mean, you're right. This is a prove-it, 2 months that he's looking
yes.
at?
It's
the amount
the last
of money
stop.
He could make or lose in just the next 8 weeks or so is devastating.
It's the last stop for him. If he doesn't do it here, other teams are going to take notice of this.
Yeah, and then it's going to – I mean, it's the difference in a total contract of $10 million. It's really the difference in $10 million, if you want to put a number on it. It's the difference between taking a two-year deal for $2 million, $3 million per, or getting a three-year deal for $4.5 million per. So
how great if we finally got a guy in the second line that works? Like, think about that. How long has it been since they've tried everything?
Sweeney went out and got a – by the way, I talked to Ty Anderson yesterday. I talked to him on the phone.
Oh.
Yeah, he's good. He got it.
Okay.
But just because I thought of left-shot defenseman. He got a left-shot defenseman, which is what he needed. He got a depth forward, and he got a score. I mean, he got everything, and he got the score. He got the guy available, and he didn't give up anything. So there's nothing not to like. If this does not work out, this is not Don Sweeney's fault.
No.
If this does not work out, listen, I didn't even want to play highlights of it, and I don't think we did, is the 8-1 to the Capitals. There was guys playing defense that I had never heard of for the hometown team. There were guys I'd never heard of. So if they get healthy and this team is capable of making some noise in the playoffs, if they don't and this team doesn't do anything, Sweeney did nothing wrong. He didn't give up anything. He didn't sacrifice any of the future. He didn't do anything. There's plenty of blame to go around. There's going to be a goaltending crisis in this town because I'll go with Raycroft and say Swayman needs another year of seasoning. So you're going to have to figure out your goaltending situation for a year. So, but in terms of this season, now you know who the pressure's on now is Rask, is Tuukka Rask. I mean, because the team has been assembled, and if the team gets healthy, all the pressure's on Rask because you want to talk about playing for your future. I mean, is it even worth playing hockey anymore? Is a question that he has to ask himself. So, a lot of guys in an approve it situation. Because if Tuukka comes out and is lights out in the playoffs, I mean, he buys himself a couple more years in Boston. If his back is wonky, if he's not around, if he's not very good, or he's just decent, I don't know what he does. I don't know if he plays again.
It's going to be tough if, like, Tuukka comes back, but none of the defensemen are healthy. And then you're just not going to know.
Well,
you're in that weird position at the end of the season where you're like, all right, was it Tuukka or was it that there was no one in front of him?
Well,
a lot tougher.
Well, then it's a one-year deal and take it or leave it. It's a take it or leave it deal. I mean, he'd have to really be something for them to offer multiple years. But, unless he sucks, it's probably a one-year take it or leave it. And then if he's great, then there's a conversation that has to be had. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.